All right.
Devin and Colin, last year, Football Camp Underground. And which one of you did I give my tennis shoes to? And that's, look, come here. Is this what happened to my tennis shoes? They were white.
No, they were blue.
They were blue? I'm colorblind. But, are you going to give them back? No, not really. I was just seeing if you were willing. And I hate to see a young man play barefoot, especially with them big ugly toes. And so, again, I pastor in Dwight, Illinois. You say, where is Dwight? I-55 and 47. And any of you travel I-55 south ever, it is where people stop at the McDonald's. And they say, oh, you're from that town that has McDonald's. And it used to be one of the only places along 47. And people stopped and were known. I've been there 36 years. Those poor people have put up with me that long. My assistant pastor, Eric Bryant, celebrates this year his 30th anniversary as my assistant, and he needs some kind of award for putting up with me and working for me, and what a blessing. Brother Booth and I are celebrating our 27th football camp. 27 years ago, Brother Booth came to me, and maybe I'll let you tell the story, but I got another story I want to tell. So you can tell how it started. I'm going to tell about you meeting my dad. Yes. So, my dad owned a trucking company. We farmed and sold the farm and he bought a trucking company. And as we, started football camp, we have what's called drag up bills. They're bills that after all the bills are paid, they're more bills. And so, my dad would know about that. He called and said, what are your drag-up bills? And he'd write a check for whatever they were, as much as $10,000 and as little as a couple thousand dollars. And for many years he did that, but had never come to football camp. Well, one year we put bleachers out for the fans to watch and thought this would be a good thing, and it was not a good thing. When parents get in the bleachers and watch, and then they start yakking and carrying on, and my dad was in the bleachers, and Brother Grimaldi got mad about a call or something and threw his clipboard, and he's known for throwing his clipboard, and Brother Booth came walking by, and he's a commissioner on one field, I'm a commissioner on the other field. We protect the preachers from getting in trouble. And so the coaches that our pastor said, we intervene. And so Brother Booth come walking by my dad, and brother, my dad said, hey, buddy, your coaches are a bunch of babies. He said, sir, my coaches are not babies. He said, so I'm a liar. And Brother Booth responded, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you being honest, and walked off. Well, my game finished first, and I slipped up and said, hey, Danny, glad you made it. Good to see you. And he would chew his tongue. I said, what's the matter? I knew he was upset about it. I said, what's the matter? He said, that guy's the idiot over there. I said, that guy is my brother. He said, I knew I had a son I hated. And Brother Booth, I had a radio. I said, Brother Booth, I see you met my dad. And he went, and by the way, my dad never gave another dime to football camp. That's how my dad was, just that way. You made him mad, you were cut off out of the will. At least he could have paid half my half of the bills, but I got X'd out of the will as well. But long story short, Brother Booth preached my dad's funeral. They became very dear friends. And again, but that is how Brother Booth met my family. And so I still am bitter about it. And so tonight I'm going to preach on bitterness. And hopefully I can get over it before football camp. We're all out football camp. Our church, small church. We run a couple hundred and we're built a new multi-purpose building and we're trying to get it finished by football camp, the bathrooms and everything. This week they're hooking the sewer up and the water up to the building. They're boring under our parking lot and coming up on the street, by the main, water line that comes by. And so, but many things going on. We hauled 80 semi-truck loads of black dirt on the football fields to crown them a little bit. And then we worked the ground. It was beautiful, looked good, and planted the seed, $8,500 for 6 acres of grass seed and fertilizer. And it didn't rain for 6 weeks. Well, needless to say, it didn't come up very good. And then 7 inches of rain came. And we had 7 inches of rain in several days. And it is starting to come up. The weeds came up first and we mowed all the weeds down. And then the grass is coming up. And today they were going to roll the fields with a giant roller. And it rained again. And so the fields, they'll either be playing on mud or whatever, and we'll reseed them this year. But just a lot going on for football camp. We put up triple bunk beds. The boys sleep on triple bunk beds, and we're just excited about it. At the same time, we're building a new auditorium, and we moved from our old auditorium into our old gymnasium, which is now the new auditorium. And completely remodeled it, and it is not going to be done by football camp, but it's the drywall is going to be up, and I don't know if it'll be painted. We're just going to go as far as we can go, but I'm excited about all that's going. Busy days. I was out here is my last week and a half or 2 weeks. I am chaplain at the Grundy County Fairgrounds and Racetrack. And so, we had our county fair. They had record attendance to the fair. And so a busy week at the fair. And I pray before the races and enjoy. We've seen 11 people saved at the track. And it's been a real blessing. They have complained about us being there, about having a chaplain, because the beer sales have gone down since we started. And so, that's a good thing when God gets in it. But I had the Sunday morning, or Friday, no, it was Saturday night was our 4th of July fireworks. And I had the introduction to the 4th of July fireworks I prayed, and then we played that excerpt that David Gibbs does about, if you've ever heard that, where he talks about the writing of the national anthem. And we did it choreography to fireworks, and it was just so powerful. And I got to introduce that, and then of course before that the mayor spoke and I introduced the mayor, and then I had to take the mayor to eat afterwards and host him was what they had asked me to do. I hosted him and then I realized how late it was. 11 o'clock. Man, I shot back to the church after I got done with him and I was going to put the finishing touches on my Sunday service. I preached on the fairgrounds at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I woke up at my desk at 1:30. When there was a puddle there, I don't know what that was from, but I was out. I fell sound asleep, woke up, went home, got up early, I went to the fairgrounds and preached, went home, preached my own service, and then I would take off for Brother Coral's, and did you enjoy having Brother Coral here? He's a dear friend of mine, and what a preacher. He doesn't leave a stone unturned. I enjoy hearing him. I do. And so I went out to help him with the Shooters Expo. I do all the food for the Shooters Expo. We smoke 1 pound elk burgers. And, I mean, they are, it's a meatloaf in a sandwich. And we enjoyed that. We smoked, seven turkeys, a dozen chickens, about 15 racks of ribs. We smoked lamb. We have a wild game feast. We did bear, elk, moose, all of that. These three giant smokers. So, again, I still have smoke on my brain. And one nice thing, though, I come home and I put a little barbecue sauce on my neck, and the wife just, she loves barbecue. And so we had a lot of fun with that. And she makes me sleep in another room because I smell like smoke. But anyways, our church recently went through some real tough times. A young lady that's been an adopted daughter to my wife and I, Jane Colvin, lost her husband and left behind two children, older. One's just in first year of college, one's a junior. But Jesse, had pre-existing problems. He had heart and lung. But one night his lungs collapsed and they couldn't bring him back, and he slipped out and into eternity. And I said, he was the best bus captain I had. He had the largest bus route. He was a junior church preacher. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was the number one giver in our church, and I don't know who number two or three or four is, but his wife is a financial secretary. And one day, I had a suspicion, because he was a nuclear engineer, and that he gave heavy. I said, Jane, who's the number one? And she sheepishly said, you know, my husband's the number one giver. And I was fussing at the Lord. I said, Lord, why would you take the number one giver? Why would you take my best bus captain? Why would you take one of my good Sunday school teachers and a junior church preacher? And all of a sudden, a eerie silence came over where I was sitting. I mean, a spooky, eerie silence. I can't describe it. Fearful silence. And the Lord whispered to my heart. I didn't hear a voice, but I heard it in my heart. That's how God speaks. And he said this to me, that's the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to leave a hole. When one of God's people die, they're supposed to leave a hole. I wonder tonight, if you were to pass off the scene, would you leave a hole in your church? Would you leave a hole? Would your preacher be grieved that he lost you? I hate to say it, preacher, but there's been some times said, well, they left, or they're gone. They were a thorn in the flesh. Are you a thorn in the flesh to your preacher? By the way, let me help you with something. One day, he's going to stand before God and give an account of you to God. Will he do it with joy or with grief? It's not time to bow and pray. No. No. Jesse died, and one day I'll give an account and say, Dear Lord, I don't understand why you took him, but I'm going to report with joy. Yeah. Sunday we had a family visit that Jesse dropped off a pamphlet a few months ago at their house. And they came, we're looking for Jesse. We're looking for Jesse. He dropped us at our house. Where is Jesse? I said, he went home. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. I said, Jesse passed away. And they were really upset. But they heard the gospel. Amen. And they came and heard the gospel. Whew. Good stuff. You know, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. And stay with me. The stewardship of life's burdens. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues, you need to turn to Proverbs because I'm going to jump to my text verse in just a moment. Stay with me. The issues of life. Preacher, I'm dealing with people all the time that have unresolved issues. I'm meeting young people that have unresolved issues. Have you ever made this statement? She has issues. He has issues. Let me illustrate. Give me your songbook. Give me that right next to you. That blue book. Give it to me. Give me that one over there. Give me that one. Yeah. Yeah. Give me that. Give me your songbook. See, I have issues. And you know what? You can tell I got issues. I got issues with you and you and you and you and you and I, you know, you can tell I got issues. I carry them around. I got issues. Unresolved issues. Hey, tonight, listen to me. Is this you? You have issues? You have issues? You're responsible to get them back where they belong. Issues. Let me say this. All of us have issues. All of us do. But are we willing to resolve? After church, don't be making disrupt in the service while I'm preaching. But all of us have issues. I have issues. I'm in all kinds of trouble. But again, do we deal with them? By the way, sometimes burdens bring on issues in our life. Tammy, I know you loved Carla Gomez. I know that. And Carla Gomez was a dear friend. She was my sister, like a sister. I can still hear her saying, "Brother Diane, brother." I go by that Gomez sign, Carla Gomez Lane, and I hear her voice saying, "Brother Diane." I used to call the house, and she'd talk on the phone, and she'd want to know what's going on with the kids, and she'd just talk, and then finally, Brother Gomez, "Are you going to give me the phone or not?" And she'd give up the phone, and when she died, my wife said, "Who are you going to talk to when you call there now?" a dear, dear friend. When she died, I got angry at God. I didn't know I got angry at God, but one day I said, "Lord, why don't you kill that woman? Why'd you take Carla? Why don't you kill that ornery old woman that's being mean to her husband? One smarts off all the time, ugly spirited, causes trouble where she... Why don't you kill her?" I didn't realize I got bitter about it. Hey, maybe you're bitter about something tonight. I don't know why I'm going this way, but that's the way God's leading me right now. You get bitter over something that happens because you don't agree with God. You don't agree with God. Listen to me. No matter what happens, God's always right and I'm wrong. Always. And if I don't reach the secret of life, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Say it with me again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is. Listen to me. Job found the secret how to get over things. And to get over burdens. There's nothing more practical than to talk about life's burdens. I want to speak to you tonight on the stewardship of life's burdens. We're stewards. And our children need to know how to deal with burdens. They're not going to learn it from the world. Right. The world wants to teach them how to deal with burdens. Let's go have a beer or two. I was asked recently to do a funeral, Brother Booth, and it was a memorial service, and it was a beer party. And I said, "I'm not doing it." "No, go get you a rent-a preacher." because I'm not going to preach the word of God and then you all be drunk and drinking beers and party and celebrating. No, it's too sacred. But oh, listen to me. The world won't teach you how to deal with burdens. You know, I'm going to tell you, Mom and Dad, it's our job to teach our children how to deal with burdens. As long as I'm right here, I want to help some of you that have children. Stop yelling and preaching and carrying on with them. Ask questions. What did Jesus do? He asked questions. I didn't learn this until my youngest daughter, Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann fell in love with a boy that was a bad boy. She likes to help people, and she wanted to help. She was going to help this young man, and this young man was a PK. But all he wanted to do was steal her purity, and put another notch in his gun that he was. And again, I tried, but I love him, Dad. I said, Ruth Ann, explain to me what love is. Ruth Ann, what verse in the Bible talks about love? For God so loved the world that He gave. Ruth Ann, do you think it's safe when your mom and dad say no? How do you honor your mom and dad? What does the Bible say? And she quoted, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. And this went on for 3 hours. My wife said, let's go to bed and pick up tomorrow. I said, no, we're not going to bed. We're not. No, we're going to keep going. And I kept asking questions. Do you think you're honoring God by disobeying your parents? And all of a sudden she broke and tears flowed down her face. She said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. God lifted the love is blind veil from her face. The next week, that boy ran off with another girl in the school. Yep. That's how much he loved her. Hello. What a joke. Yep. I went... Ruth Ann, you got to know Ruth Ann, but I believe you ought to be married in the church.
Yeah, amen.
I believe that.
Park there.
And not in a park, not somewhere, but at the church. I believe it. So...
You just doubled your love offering.
So, I did the food for a wedding at somebody's house. I did the food. Ruth Ann came home from college. She was engaged. She wanted to get married at the house. I said, no, you're getting married at church. That's where we're getting married. And Ruth says to me, said, oh, Dad, you must think it's okay to get married at the house because you just did the food for so-and-so's wedding. I said, you stick a brat. You're a brat. You're a brat. And she got married at the house. I gave in, caved in. She got married at the house, but they got married in April. And they said, well, we went on the internet and found the best day to get married in April. Historically, 40-mile-an-hour winds. The rain was coming this way. To so much for their internet date they picked out. But she came out, we moved it into our barn, 40 by 80 barn, cleaned it up, covered up stuff with tarps and moved everything inside, or it was inside waiting for the rain to stop. But, she came to the door and she had boots on under her dress. She had mud boots on. I said, baby, you're gonna get married in boots? She goes, Dad, they're designer boots. Come on. She whispered and said, Dad, thank you for helping me. I'm marrying the man I dreamed about marrying today. Thank you. Now, dear parents, we've got to show them. First of all, it starts with us. We gotta deal with our own issues, and then our children see us deal with our issues, and suddenly when they have issues, they believe what we say. You know, don't do as I do as I say doesn't work. It's a lie of the devil.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing more practical than to talk about life's burdens. It's the lot of men and women everywhere to have burdens. Sooner or later, every one of you will carry a burden. How many of you in the last 5 years have had to face a burden? Well, just about every hand will go up if you're honest. Some type of burden. Some are bigger than others. Some can be seen, but yet I believe that again the most fierce battles are fought in the unseen burdens that people bear. Again, if we understood the burdens that people bear, Jane Colvin this past week, everybody had been around her and the kids were all gone. She decided to go through Jesse's things and start to deal with them. And she didn't ask me about that. I would have said, just do a little bit, leave it alone. Do a little bit and leave it alone. But she decided she was going to do it all in one day. And then I got a phone call and she's sobbing and bawling and said, I didn't think it would hurt this bad. It hurts so bad. Will this hurt ever go away? And I told her, no. The hurt will always be there. It just won't hurt as bad. And every first for the next year, every first that she does that they did together, you will cry. Just get used to it. And it's okay to cry because you got somebody who's closer than you could ever imagine to be by your side. I love it. Andy walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. When it comes to the Bible has three times it talks about our burdens as they apply to us. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. Over the next today and tomorrow, we're going to cover these, the stewardship of bearing life's burdens. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. Very familiar, again, it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. By the way, I can hear you turning pages. I can hear it. I have hearing aids, and the first time, Tim, I put them in, I was at Providence Baptist College in Chapel, and it was the first time I'd worn them publicly, and I heard all the pages turning, and I'd never heard that before. And I start bawling that the Word of God, people were turning in the Word of God, and I could hear them, and I'm out there bawling, everybody's looking at me like, what's the matter with him? I just heard it again. And thank you for that. But it says in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 there again, and let's look at verse 2. Secondly, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the third place in the Bible where it talks, in Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22. Turn to Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22. Psalm chapter 55 at verse 22. Don't you hate a preacher that tells you to turn there and takes off and you're still looking for it? When I was a kid, I said, I hate that. So I always wait. Brother Booth, he doesn't care about you. And he'll just go to the verse and start reading it. Psalms chapter 55 verse 20 says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now listen to me, that's all the Bible has to say about our burdens. But three sentences say all we need to have said to us. The stewardship of life's burdens. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that you give me brevity of thought and keep me on track, Lord. I don't know why you had me to say many different things at the beginning. And Lord, but they all pertain to life's burdens. And Lord, how that we are the keeper of our hearts. Help us to understand burdens tonight in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Amen. Number one, our burdens are non-transferable. Don't miss this thing. Our burdens are non-transferable. Here it is. Every man shall bear his own burden. Every life is isolated and separated and segregated from every other life to such a remarkable degree that every life is lived alone. It is. Oh, we have camaraderie and we get together. The truth is we were born alone. And you'll leave this world alone. You will face God alone. We really call it the doctrine of individuality. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God as an individual. Now stay with me because I'm going somewhere. No man can perform your duty. Mark chapter 13, verse 34, you need not turn there. Jesus again teaches, to every man his work. To every man his work. Not to every man a work. Not to every man some work, but to every man his work. You see, God has a plan for your life. To mold you and to make you into what you need to be. I'm trying to teach Jane this right now. And she is trying to learn. By the way, Jane has, if Jane Colvin has a Facebook Live program called Keep Thy Heart. You ladies want to go to a wonderful program about keeping your heart right. A year or so ago, she came, and I said, Jane, you need to do, I want you to do a program on the radio, and we didn't put her on the radio. She went and we started on Facebook just for our ladies. It exploded, and she talks about the heart. She's last Tuesday, she was bawling and having a tough day, and I was out in Pennsylvania, and I was trying to comfort her and bring her through, And I said, Jane, don't do your program today. It's usually Tuesday, 1 or 2 o'clock. And I said, don't do your program. I said, let one of your sisters, let Rachel or Becca, let them do it. And she goes, no, I want to do it because I want people to know that I'm not a super Christian, that I'm just a normal person that has heartaches. And I want people to see the heartache. I want them to know and experience. And I said, that's big league stuff. And she had a tough time with it, but was it rich? And was it deep? What a blessing. God is putting her through one day. She will help somebody walk down that lonely road of losing a spouse. God molds and makes. God has a task for you to fulfill. There's a life for you to live separated from every other life in the world. And listen to me, no one can bear your burden. Although we want everything. Would you help me with my burden? Would you care? No, we've got to face our burdens. That's what that's talking about. You can't run from your burdens. Because they're faster than you are. They will catch you. They never go. You turn back, they're there. Jane says the worst time is in the evening and in the morning. It's funny. When my wife got cancer, and Luella, we go way, way, way back, but Cindy got cancer and she put a fight on, said she was going to live, And at night, I would reach over and lay my hand on her and pray for God to heal her. And so I developed a habit of reaching over and touching and make sure she's still there. And I tell that story sometimes. I reach over and touch her at night. And my wife said, "Do you know you touched me about 15 times last night? That's a little too much." I reach over and I guess I wake her up. I don't know. "Wake up, woman!" And no, but I reach over and touch it. Well, Jane heard me talk about that, and she just would reach over and touch Jesse, and she said, "You know, maybe the reason I did that is because I heard you talk about it, and I started it." They were married for 20 years, and she said, "I reached over the other night, and nobody was there." She said, "I grabbed his pillow to try to get a scent of him, and I because he was sick, I had washed it, and I feel so bad that I washed his scent, his smell away." Whew. What a burden to bear. But God's doing a work. Listen to me. No one can bear your burden. No one can repent of your sins. No one can believe in Christ for you. No one, listen to me, nor can anyone ever stand at the judgment seat of Christ in your place. You must one day give an account of God to yourself. We'll stand before God and give an account. I was preaching Sunday morning, and all week out at the expo, everyone was asking, "How old are you, Brother Woodard?" I said, "I'm 63. And so I'm feeling, I'm 63. Two more years, I'll be 65. But I got 2 years. So I'm preaching away Sunday morning, and a lady in my church, she's 2 months older than I am. And I give her a fit that she's old and 2 months older. And I said, "Folks, I'm 63. I got 7 years." And she goes, "Pastor, you're 64. I said, "Jamie, really?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "I lost a year. What happened?" That's what COVID does to you. And then I felt bad all day long that I got one more year till I turn. About wrecked the service. Oh, listen to me. That when we understand this, that means nobody is lost in the crowd. There is to be no hiding behind others. There is nothing more unsettling today than people thinking they're lost in the crowd. It's demonic. No, listen to me, it's a lie. No, but God, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. I love the song, "His Eye Is on the Sparrow. How can I be discouraged?" Oh, listening. "For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. He sees what others may not see." You come into church one day. I'll close with this story. One day I had been at the hospital. Mitch Carman's dad died. His dad, before he died, looked at me, his son standing there, and said, "Make sure my son turns out right. Will you promise me, Pastor?" I should have kept shaking my head, but I said, I promise you, Abraham, I'll do everything I can." Well, Mitch pushed me to the edge of the limits of things. He's a rascal, and he grew up and was a prodigal and did all kinds of dumb things. And that day I came back to the church, and church had already started. I was running late because I was at the hospital. I called and said, "Go ahead and start the music. I'll come up." And as I was going through the basement to come up to the auditorium, a couple walked by me, and I was in another dimension. I was in heaven. I was thinking about, wonder what Abraham's doing, because shortly after he told me about his son, he passed into glory. And I was, and I didn't say hi to them. And they left the church because the preacher was, didn't say hi. Preacher must be mad at me. I never saw them. You know what? The sins of assumption are a horrible sin. When I make an assumption, my wife says to me, "How you know that?" She reminds me. And I'm glad. My wife is she helps me so much. That's why she's called to help me. Hello? How you know that? I said, "I don't." Well, then why are you go there? See, we get in trouble when we assume people think, or, and these people assume they left. To this day, I saw them at a funeral. They wouldn't even, they walked out. I was at the head of the casket. They did an about face and walked out against the grain, so they didn't have to go past me. How sad.
Yeah.
How sad. They left our church. They lost every one of their kids, are messed up on cocaine and drugs and heroin. What a mess. Who were good Christian school kids. But they left. Because they assume. Boy, you don't know the burden a preacher bears. You don't know what's going on, man. If preacher doesn't look at you, assume he's got a heavy burden. The truth is, even if nobody walks the path that you're walking, you walk it. Even if nobody else does right, you do right. Young people do right. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said there's two resolutions in his life. First, that every man should do right, whatever it costs. And second, he said, whether any other man does right or not, I will, so help me God. You see, every man shall bear his own burden. Listen to me, tonight, what's your heartache? Or what are you holding on to that is like a ball and chain, and you're dragging your burden around? It's a chain, and you can only go so far without having to pull on it, and it follows you. Why don't you break the chain tonight? Why don't you quit making excuses tonight? Why don't you say, "Lord, by the grace of God, I'm going to bear my burden, and I'm going to bow on bended knee. Lord, help me to face my burdens and go forward for the cause of Christ." She has issues. He has issues. I can see him. You see, the choice is yours. God gives us a free will. But he doesn't make us. I've never seen God twist an arm. Now, I've seen in the Bible him make people willing to go. The hornets came. They got willing to go. But again, he never twists an arm. He wants people that freely follow him. That's what makes us so beautiful, folks. And that was taking our burdens to the Lord. And we're going to look at that tomorrow night. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm finished. And I look forward to Brother Booth. But I wonder if you're here. You say, "Preacher, I needed that tonight. I'm carrying a burden. I need it." You slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. God bless you all around the room. Father, bless these precious people. Lord, that we would just face our burdens head on. Give us a tenacity and spirit of revival to be honest. Folks, we can't be honest with ourselves. Father, I pray that you bless tonight. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand for a moment tonight. We'll have an invitation here.